So I'm going to preach a message called Resistance. And I didn't copy him. He copied me, probably. So yesterday I had a vision. And in the vision, the sky was filled with little tiny drones, tiny little drones, like this big, little drones. And they were dangerous and deadly. And we had to fight these drones. In the vision, we were fighting these drones off. And we had to put ourselves in a cave because the drones couldn't get signal in there. So we were hiding in a cave trying to keep them from getting us. And so vision came. What, Lord? What does this mean? And he revealed to me that the drones were symbolic of the flu virus. And so we kind of looked for that to see what we could find. And we found demonic forces of infirmity, unclean, perverse, and heaviness. So the virus isn't just a physical thing that's coming, and we know that it's coming. It's not just a physical thing. It is fueled by this spiritual component. So we're going to have to fight. So we ask God, do we have authority to come against this virus that's coming? And the answer was yes, that we did have authority. So do we have authority over the whole world? No. Do we have authority over the United States? No. North America? No. Do we have authority in Colorado? Some, but not really strong. Do we have authority in Kremlin? Yes. Resounding yes. And certainly we have authority over our own bodies. We have authority in our households. So we need to understand that when we have authority, we need to do what God says. So he instructed us to break the assignment of this virus. Break the assignment because it is a demonic assignment. Not entirely. It's going to manifest physically. Break the assignment and establish a quarantine. And when I establish a quarantine, I imagine myself, I see myself in God's protection. It's an invisible bubble when nothing can get to me. And I believe it with my whole heart. It works. So here's what I think we need to do. We want to set ourselves to stay healthy. We need to resist this attack personally. And just make sure that you're in the spirit and not just speaking to the air. We need to be doing a real thing. When we fight, we don't fight from a position of flesh or our imagination or a religious place. We're not in a religious place. We're doing this in earnest. We are confronting the enemy. I was reminded several years ago when we had multiple drowning victims. Some of you in here will remember that we did that. It happened in various reservoirs in our county, in surrounding areas. It was very unusual to have that many drownings in such a short period of time. And it seemed to be demonically inspired. So we positioned ourselves. We got together, talked about this, and we positioned ourselves to break that assignment and demand that those drownings cease. And they did. It didn't take very long. But when we band together to do this thing, it was done. And as far as I know, there haven't been any other drownings since that time. Our faith went, whoa, God heard, answered, and we defeated the enemy, and we did defeat him. And I know that for myself, as a matter of course, if I know that there's been an accident on a stretch of highway that I travel, I have some authority on that highway because I travel that highway. So if I know that there are accidents that have happened, I immediately break that assignment of accident, injury, death, and it makes a difference. It really does. So in order to be effective in doing this virus thing, we need to make sure that our relationship with God hasn't been compromised. We have to be in the right place with God or we're vulnerable. I'm going to do a Christmas rant for just a minute. Can I do that? So the first Christmas after I was born again, I was so excited about the birth of Christ. It finally meant something. It finally made sense to me. Christmas made sense to me. And yet, I found it the most difficult time of the year to maintain a relationship with God because of all the cultural and religious holiday traditions and the merchandising blitz that we have to endure. It was just horrible. So every year I have to buck up against this thing and try to get through it with my relationship with God intact. I don't know if you're in that same boat. I'm probably just preaching to myself. But once again, we are at the end of this exhausting holiday season, and I don't think I'm alone in coming away from that in some level of condemnation, kind of a weird disappointment of not being able to stay as close to God as I want to. There can be guilt of not being like everybody else because we're supposed to be, you know, she said. Guilt about self-indulgence, guilt about being spiritually distracted. We have all of those, we have all kinds of weird things that happen after the holiday is over and we're trying to get ourselves back together. And at the end of it all, nobody wants to be away from God. We don't. We don't want to backslide. We don't want to cool off in our relationship to God. So we find that often at the end of this season, we need deliverance, if not just a really hot, deep bath. You know what I'm saying? So 1 John 5:18 says, "We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him." So we're going to have to keep ourselves again. So what if we got caught up in the flurry of Christmas and found ourselves emotionally invested in the holidays so that the wicked one did find a place of weakness and was able to touch us? What do we do now? What if we did that, and now what do we do? We need to know that when we come back to the Lord, he will not condemn us. We need to know that he will take us back, that he's not going to be mad at us forever. Amen? And I was remembering John chapter 8, where the religious people brought the woman who had been caught in the act of adultery, brought her to Jesus, and making that really long scripture shorter, Jesus said, "He who is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone." And then later on in verses 10 and 11, he raised himself up, saw no one but the woman, and he said, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." So we're not condemned, but he's saying, go and don't do that anymore. Amen? Well, we're ready to do that. We've made our New Year's resolutions. Mine was that I was going to make no more mistakes. Ever. That lasted less than a day, by the way. So our answer at this juncture is to begin again. Submit and commit to God. James 4:7 says, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." This is the resistance. Listen, I wanted to preach about revolution against Christmas. I wanted us to rise up and protest and make it stop. Make Christmas stop. It would have been an exhausting thing, and it's too big for us to do. I mean, this thing is bigger than all of us together. So that's not going to work. I'd like for it to work, but it's not going to. So resistance is what we have to do, is just resist those things that we're not in agreement with. Just resist them. That word resist is an active word. It means to withstand or stand against, combat, fight. But it has to be an act of the will, and not just with words and good intentions. We have to decide that we're going to stand against a thing. If we're going to stand against this flu thing, it has to be an act of our will to say, I'm not having it. It's not coming into my body. I'm not doing it. Amen. Resistance is the refusal to accept or comply with something or the ability to not be affected. It will make a difference. I promise you that it will. So last week I was seeking God about wisdom. I needed wisdom and direction. And he gave me a really short little vision of someone taking out the trash. And again, Christmas rant, it always amazes me to see the amount of trash set out for the garbage truck right after Christmas. Overflowing. The curbs are overflowing with trash. Trash bins are running over. Amen? So our spiritual version of this trash, taking it out, is to deal with dissatisfaction and condemnation. We have to leave carnality behind, rise up in the Spirit, kick out everything in us that is not God or godly. That's taking out the trash. Everything in you that is not God, is not godly, you need to take it out. You need to get rid of it. Take it to the curb. Amen? Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So what do we have to do? Be in the Spirit. There's no condemnation when we're in the Spirit. And we're always left, maybe not everybody, but there's always a sense of condemnation after Christmas that you could have done something better, you know, you're not measuring up, whatever. Feeling guilty that you hate it. Amen. So we must get in the Spirit, rise up out of the dead ashes of the past. All the flesh nonsense. Get in the Spirit again. You're going to know that I preach the same message every week, just different words, and it is walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Get in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, do a real thing. Don't just pray to the air, pray to God, pray into his ears. Don't do religion, do something real, get in the Spirit, amen? Galatians 5:16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Get in the Spirit. Stay in the Spirit. If you don't know where that is, spend time. God, help me see what it's like to be in the Spirit. Help me get there. Help me see you. He will do it. He wants you there. So we need to establish ourselves in spiritual truth, spiritual reality. There is a reality of spirit living that is not religion, that is not flesh, that is not carnality. We need to do that. It's time to hit the reset button and get back on track for all of us. Amen? Philippians 3:13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. So I have to forget this. I have to forget where I've been. I have to forget all my resentments and say, you know, tomorrow's a new day. Today's a new day. I'm going to do the best I can in God. I'm going to be as close to God as I can today. I'm going to deal with all the flesh, all the nonsense today. So, again, we need to reestablish ourselves in spiritual truth and reality. In another vision I had last week, there was a mother duck with a bunch of little ducklings following behind. Cute, very cute, in perfect order. And I said, God, what does this mean? And he said, you need to get your ducks in a row. That means get in order, get organized, get fully prepared to move on with God. If you've got some things out of order in your life, this is the perfect time to get back in order, get things right again with God. We have to become focused on what is relevant and eternal, things that really matter. We spend too much of our lives focusing on things that don't matter at all. Flesh things, life things. Like if we just get our focus in the right spot, on the eternal God, on things that really matter, we're going to be okay. What matters the most in every life is our personal, intimate, genuine relationship with God. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. I was also aware last week of the silence almost. I mean, it was so quiet. The spiritual atmosphere was really quiet. And I'm speaking comparatively. We are inevitably affected by chaos and noise in our environment. Whether we hear it with our ears or not, we are affected. And it has been loud, really loud. Now it's time to be quiet. God wants us to be quiet inside. He wants us to put ourselves aside for Him and be still. Put God first. Genuinely, honestly, sincerely seek His face. Spend time in His presence. Listen. Look. I said this, I don't know, a while ago. I get a lot of visions. Why do I get visions? Because I look. I want to see what God wants to show me. I'm not anything special. I am an ordinary, average human being, but I have a desire to know what God is doing. I want to know what He says. I want to know what He's showing me. I want to know what He wants me to do. So I have to look. I have to listen. I have to get in the Spirit and wait until He speaks or shows me something. If you want that, and the only reason I get that is because I desire it so much. I want to be one with God. Amen? He will show us what to do. He will show us what He's going to do for us. He's going to show us what He's going to do with us. It is time to do something real in the Spirit. It is so easy to just be religious. I mean, it's the easiest thing in the world to be religious. Having real relationship with God takes dedication, commitment, time, energy, effort. Amen? So we're now in a new cycle. It's going to be full of challenges, opportunities to put God's word into practice. We're going to have plenty of chances to succeed or fail. We're going to have to learn to walk in the Spirit, or else we're going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's going to be one or the other. You can't do both at the same time. We will either grow because of our experiences, or we're going to give up. Every day is a new day. Every day is a new day. Every day is transitional. Nothing stays. Begin every day with a clean slate. I'm going to read from Small Straws. I don't know what day. But he said, do not worry about what lies ahead. Do not worry about what lies ahead. He means that when he says that. You have this moment today to make the most of your life. Stay present with me, says the Lord. Refuse to lag behind by focusing on the past or what might have been. And resist the temptation to project out into the future. Whatever you presume for the days ahead will not be what you think. Live in the truth where you are now. And Matthew 6:34a, therefore do not worry about tomorrow. Look, God is with you. He wants to take you through. If you want Him, He wants you more, and He will bring you through. All we have to do is cooperate. All we have to do is want Him more than we want our necessary food. Know that God is with us. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is the best thing you've ever had. He is all there is. Matthew 28:20, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah, huh? And Small Straws, one more time. I am with you to guide you into my will and purpose for you. Do not be afraid. I will speak to you in ways that are easy for you to understand. And I will direct you. However, you must position yourself to be sensitive to my Spirit. Position yourself to be sensitive to my Spirit. That means you're looking for Him, trying to be in His presence, putting yourself in the Spirit. Spiritual awareness is developed as you spend time in my presence, says the Lord. And I'm going to read from Isaiah 30:21, and then I'm going to be done. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. whenever you turn to the right or whenever you turn to the left. He's going to say, this is the way. Walk in it. Amen? And I'm going to finish with this. God is on the throne, and all is right in the universe. Amen.